He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the Wednesday live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, we had a little bit of a pop out of the gate. We're still up on the NASDAQ, but it has faded somewhat here. The NASDAQ right now is up 26 points to 13,090. The S&P is up 6 points to 4,279. The Dow is now down 11 points to 33,607. Small caps are up 1%. There's a bright spot. Crude oil is up $92.41. Is up 202 to 92.41. There seems to be some pretty low levels of oil as drawdowns continue, especially in Cushing, Oklahoma. We'll talk about that in a bit here. Gold is down $17. It's fighting a very strong dollar right now and losing the battle to it. Gold is at 1902. Silver's down 52 cents to 2267. The 10-year, which was down 4 basis points, is now down just 3 basis points and maintaining a very high level, 4.52. We got to go clear back again to 2007 to find rates this high. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show. With professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, Barry, you know, look, during the 2+ decades I've been in the business, there's just a lot of bad days. There's a lot of bad weeks. We're in one of those bad weeks right now between the deadline, the showdown. We've had these before. We had a government shutdown back in 2018. As soon as they got a deal, the market went right back up to where it was before the shutdown. The hike in interest rates, the rise in rates here, I'm hoping it's transitory. I'm hoping that it's somehow tied to these the shutdown. But I also realize that, you know, we're floating a lot of debt. But it seems to me that the bond market is vastly oversold here, and it seems to me that the stock market is deeply oversold. And last night, as I was just kind of flipping through the channels, you know, I stumbled upon Jim Cramer. I listened to him for about 5 minutes. That's about all I can take.
If Christina was behind you, you might have only made it 2 minutes. She's usually like,
and I'm sure he says the same thing about me. I can only take Gunderson. Now, I used to write for TheStreet.com.
Right.
He recruited me. He sent me a personal email and recruited me. I wrote for a couple years for TheStreet.com. But anyways, I listen to him.
He's listenable in the morning, right? And then, of course, when it's showtime, right? And in the evening, it's there's some entertainment. There's some entertainment value to that, right? And so you gotta kind of take some of the entertainment out of the.
But he does
the actual analyst.
He does agree with me that this is a deeply oversold market, and selling here would not be a very smart thing to do. Because you've got some issues here that are kind of transitory that will get resolved. And I think that the market has overreacted. Here's the deal. I think the market got ahead of itself, anticipating maybe rate cuts by early next year. Heck, I can remember not that long ago.
We said that at the beginning, towards the beginning of the year, right? It was like, hey, we appreciated the fact it was helping, right, portfolios, but at the same time, it was one of those things where it's like,
it got too hot,
right? So
by midway through this year, I said it's too hot. Around July the 1st, I said we're going to now enter into a new phase in the markets. Got to cool off a little bit. It has. There were even some that were at one time pricing in some price cuts by the Fed or rate cuts by the Fed this year.
This year.
Remember that? By late next year, this year we should have a couple of rate cuts. Well, that ain't going to happen. I don't know. Maybe by spring. Let's just say April. Let's just put it out to April of next year. Of course, it's data dependent. And they don't want to push the economy into a recession, that's for sure. I guess we need some weak job numbers. That would do more to help interest rates more than anything right now would be some weak job numbers. Anyways, we had an ugly day yesterday. You got to go back to March to find a drop like we had. The Dow was down 388. The S&P was down 64. And the NASDAQ was down 208. And we're sitting on some pretty critical support levels for the indexes. The NASDAQ's still well above its support level. The Dow, however, is piercing below just a little bit its 200-day moving average. It's not the end of the world. It did it earlier this year, did it several months ago. Usually, in a situation like this, you get a snap back at some point from these oversold territories. It's like stretching a rubber band so far that when you let go, it's going to snap back, and that's where the market is right now. Why do I say that?
And it happens in both directions, right?
Yes.
And we've seen it snap back from you know, the first half of the year, which was in one direction, right?
Way too extended one way, yes.
Right.
So. Now it's way too extended the other way. It could get more extended, but eventually it's going to snap back. Now, why do I say that with such confidence? Well, you've got the forward PE of the S&P now down to 17.8. But even more importantly than that, we're basing that forward PE on $250 in earnings over the next 12 months. $250 in earnings, which is compared to $220 this year. So there's some pretty strong earnings estimates out there that have not been nicked at all by any of this. This has been all about
and actually raised because the fact is, the beginning of the year, folks were expecting that potential cut by the end of 2023 because they expected the economy to slow down right much faster than it has. And so whether you want to call it a soft landing or what whatever you want to interpret it as, it's this stretch is much more elongated, right, than the market kind of assumed it was going to be for 2023.
Yes, and if you ever want to know what the forward 12 months earnings picture looks like, take the current price of the S&P 500, which was 4,300, right around in there, divide it by the forward PE. Okay, this is going the other way, which is 17.8, and you'll come up with about $249, $250 per share. There's your forward estimate for the S&P 500, because the forward PE ratio is today's price of the S&P 500 divided by the earnings expectations over the next 12 months. And you can look up the forward PE of the S&P, a lot of different sources. You can work the numbers backward and come up with what analysts are expecting for earnings over the next 12 months. Those will be record earnings if those earnings are actually delivered. And again, it compares to 220 this year, 250 next year. That's a pretty big bump. So, until I see some shaving of the earnings expectations, which I have not seen yet, I'm going to continue to stand my ground very firmly. This is all about the multiple right now, which is now cleared down to 17.8.
Yeah, and it's just one data point, but even durable goods orders that came out today, they rose 0.2%, and the market was expecting a 0.5% decline, right? So that's
yes.
A 0.7 difference, which means, right, durable goods orders held up, right, at least for this month compared
yes.
to where they thought they would.
And so that's more fuel, more evidence for a soft landing. And I have talked to some people recently saying, I don't know about that soft landing. I don't know. Well, I think the Fed has overdone it and is going to put us into a recession. Well, everybody is entitled to their opinion. I believe that at least as of now, we are headed for a soft landing.
And we will have a recession at some point, right?
Yes.
We're going to be right, but, you know, how long, right, does that take to kind of take hold, right? And of course, when it happens, are we all going to agree that it was recession, kind of like the last time we went to negative quarters of GDP? What was that, that was early 2022, right?
Yeah. Now, I don't
know
how.
Seems like forever ago.
I don't know how political this current Fed is. I'm sure it's plenty political. It always is, but the party in control certainly does not want a recession in 2024, the election year. That's what sunk George Bush Sr.
Yeah, his first term.
And allowed Bill Clinton to get into office. All right. Having said all that, we got a lot of work here to do, a lot to talk about today. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. The Kingsley Hotel in Bloomfield Hills, which is a DoubleTree by Hilton, by the way, located at 39475 Woodward Avenue in Bloomfield Hills, is where we'll be October 17th, 18th, and 19th. And we will be available for appointments during the day from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. If you would like to meet with us, this is a rare opportunity. This is our first road trip to the Michigan, to the Bloomfield Hills, Detroit area. You can reserve, snag a spot with us by calling Edie at 855-611-BEST. That's Edie at 855-611-BEST. And we'd be happy to sit down with you and talk about your situation, whatever the case may be. Everybody's situation is different. That's why we have a certified financial planner meeting with you, along with myself, the money manager. Pretty good team. 855-611-BEST if you'd like to meet with us at the Kingsley in Bloomfield Hills on Woodward Avenue, October 17th, 18th, or 19th. Okay, back to the durable goods orders just for a minute. They unexpectedly ticked up 0.2%, which is good news. I mean, if you're in the soft landing camp, that's good news that we're not showing any signs of a recession there in durable goods orders, which can
better
be pretty
than
wild.
July. Yeah, better report than July.
Yeah.
July had, I think they fell the most in over 3 years. I think they were down about, I don't know, 5.2% or so. I think it got revised to down 5.6% on this report. But, yeah, so a rebound, you know, an unexpected rebound in durable goods orders for August, which is a good sign from an economic standpoint, because those are goods that, you know, people always ask me, what's a durable good? I'm like, I don't remember the definition.
I think a refrigerator, anything
that,
over 3 years.
Exactly,
is good,
yeah.
Like
so they're things that are, you know, basically you could store and sell, you know, 3 years or longer down the road, or it's something that we might buy and expect to have in our, you know, in our home or wherever, right, for longer than 3 years. So that's what that's what that is, that definition wise.
Well, it sounds like some durable goods are being, you know, hauled out of some stores across America. You know, I'm going to call out New York City, Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, and of course many other cities across America. Do you know that theft? They call it shrinkage. We have to say shrinkage because theft is not a good word, or shoplifting is not a good word, or stealing. Thou shalt not steal. Isn't that one of the Ten Commandments? I mean, that Moses brought down?
Yeah,
thou shalt not steal. Yes. Has that been rescinded?
Is it Target? Is that where you're getting going at with the Target?
More than
closing
that.
Some stores.
I mean, across
they're gonna close
the board. retail theft, thou shalt not steal, jumped almost 20% in 2022.
And how have they not, I mean, technologically, right? I mean, I get it if you're going to, you know, the old, in this way, it's like, you know, this stuff is actually coming out of the store and or the back of the store. I mean, you know, the old shrinkage methods, right? We're taking the truck before it ever got to the store.
Yeah,
right?
This is just taking it out the front door instead of the back door.
You would think that technology could go a long way to stopping that.
Right? And the police looking the other way, you know, while they loaded into their truck. I also read that in, I think it was London, somewhere in England where the cops are turning in their guns. They say, hey, what good are these? You won't let us use them if we defend somebody and somebody gets hurt, then we go to jail. The cop goes to jail. So anyways, everything from Target to Dick's Sporting Goods to Lowe's to Macy's, Walmart have been pointing to crime, organized retail crime, as a huge problem.
Jumped 20%.
That's a nationwide, okay? So as a result, Target's going to close 9 stores because of theft. Well, not only does it endangers their employees when people walk in armed and start hauling things out. What are the workers supposed to do? New York City's Harlem neighborhood, this is where the Target stores are closing. 2 locations in Seattle, 3 stores in San Francisco, Oakland area, and 3 more in Portland, Oregon. Okay, there you go. I don't know what the rationale is here. Is it redistributing the wealth? Is it? I don't know. There is no rationale. I go back to thou shalt not steal. Well, that has not been rescinded. And thou shalt not look the other way when somebody is stealing, when it's your job to stop the stealing.
Yeah, I mean, and in our business, right, I mean, when you're filling out your U-4 and other regulatory items, like, you know, my dad used to, you know, had an advisor whose son wanted to come work with her, right? And she was a, you know, great advisor, and he, you know, went to school, did everything. Well, he stole something in, I don't know, when he was 17 or 18, right? And it was something, it wasn't anything big, but, you know, but the thing is, the company, 10 years, they were like, look, you got to wait 10 years before you can even, before you can even use your major in
That's
this industry.
Fair.
So
okay,
it's a big deal.
But. Yep, it's a big deal. Okay, U.S. government heads for a showdown and a shutdown. I know the Senate has a backup plan, okay, in case it does show the shutdown. And the Republicans are taking 2 different paths, or the Democrats and the Republicans are taking 2 different paths in the political struggle to put together a federal budget for fiscal year 2024, which begins on October 1st. All right. So Friday is the last day of the fiscal year for the U.S. government. It appears all but certain that large parts of the government will shut down on Sunday. Are you going to miss them? I don't know, according to media reports.
We're going to miss the economic data. That's not going to be coming.
Well, they'll get out that PCE report on Friday, right, and then maybe we won't hear anything from them for a while, and the market won't have to worry about every little report coming out. The House is pushing ahead with an effort to pass a four full-year spending bills that contain conservative measures and have no chance of passing in the Senate and getting the president's signature. Okay. Funding the entire government would require Congress to pass 12 appropriation bills or an omnibus bill that would combine them all. Some moderate Republicans are poised to work with the Democrats, but others are holding the line. Anyways, they are close to a deal that would fund the government for 45 days to provide more time to negotiate the full budget. But as I've been saying, you know, $33 trillion back in 2009 when we had the fiscal financial Great Recession crisis, we had $9 trillion in debt. And at 4.5%, you're talking over $1 trillion per year just in interest payments. Wow. So that's where it all is. We do have a precedent. You can go back to 2018 when the government shut down. The S&P actually went down 15% during that time. It was a very prolonged shutdown. And as soon as it opened up again, those 15 percentage points came right back. So You know, it's just something you got to ride through. It makes no sense to sell everything. The government's not going to be closed down for the next 2 or 3 years. Some of us wish it would, but it's going to, it's a transitory thing that will get resolved somehow. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half, well, of the Best Stocks Now show. The market is holding up. The Nasdaq's up 51 right now. The deeply oversold Nasdaq is taking it the hardest. Why? Because it has the highest P.E. stocks as compared to the Dow and the S&P 500. And when interest rates go up, it shrinks multiples, P.E. ratios. And, of course, those stocks and those indexes with higher P.E. ratios are going to get hurt more than those with lower P.E. ratios. Last time I looked, well, Cathie Wood's ARK Funds was down 9.9% last week, while the NASDAQ was down 3.1%. So that just shows you the magnitude of that shrinkage in P.E. multiples. Mortgage applications decrease. Well, just you ought to know that right now that the 30-year fixed rate mortgage is at 7.41% compared with 7.3. I wonder how many people that knocks out of being able to qualify, Barry. From like 3% where they were.
Yeah, with your classic, and the problem with a lot of your credit scoring nowadays, right? You have to fit in a particular box, and you take a payment to a 7% mortgage, and take the same payment for a 3% mortgage, and a lot of folks are outside of that box. There's just nothing you can do. The math doesn't work.
You can plug that into a mortgage calculator. Now, yes, wages have been going up and whatnot, but still, it's going to take a lot of people out of qualifying for a loan. And it prevents you from taking money pretty much out of the equity in your home. Well, I guess it doesn't, but refinancing, forget about it. Who's going to refi?
I mean, and you're probably not taking like a home equity line of credit whenever you've got some some rate there. You know, the interesting thing is to map over, put layover home prices, right, and then put over say 30-year mortgage rates or 15-year mortgage rates, and it shows you that there's just not that much supply out there because the fact that historically, rates go up, and then, of course, the price has to come down, so then people can still fit in that box that we were just talking about. Well, in this instance, the prices are staying the same and or slightly going up, and you just have a bigger payment, which doesn't work in the boxes. So.
I got to believe a lot of the deals that are happening are cash deals.
Yeah.
Okay, now.
New homes. So that's the one thing about new homes, and one of the reasons we own some home builders.
Where the builders are helping out.
Exactly. They're covering, whatever that, say, that 3%.
I don't know how they're able to do it.
They can do it for a little while, and then you would expect, you give them a kind of a teaser rate for, say, a few years, and then, of course, at that point, you would think rates are going to be lower, and then you could refi.
Yes.
Right? But I don't know.
Now, I keep hearing in the background, the World Economic Forum, you will own nothing and be happy. And the conspiracy theorist in me wants to say, are they making homes so expensive that nobody can afford to buy one? But anyways, this interest rate deal is impacting a lot of folks. A lot of folks. Imagine being in the mortgage business right now. I mean, it's just got to be like, it's like, during the the NASDAQ, when the NASDAQ went down 80%. What was it like to be in our business? Well, I know. I was there. I survived it.
Yeah, and I've got a buddy who's in the mortgage business in a place like Texas, which has been booming, right? And, you know, and, I mean, and his answer was, it's slow. He goes, but I've been in this business long enough to know that there's booms and there's busts, and you gotta be prepared. And I'm like, you might be prepared, but there's a lot of people who aren't prepared.
No, and they go, well, I would say going back to 2000 when the NASDAQ went down 79%, 90% of the people I worked with were out of the business. I never saw them again, you know.
And, well, yeah.
They became baristas at Starbucks or whatever. Okay, Cushing oil stockpiles are the lowest in more than a year. You know, we're not in a good situation if trouble should come up. Let's just say there's a skirmish somewhere in the world. We've tapped our strategic oil reserves in Cushing, which is pretty much where all the oil goes. That's kind of where the stockpiles go, the storage hub there. They have shrunk to their lowest level in 14 months. And that's why you're seeing oil up again today. You're at $92 per barrel. And again, we're worried about an endangered whale that nobody's seen ever before. And we can't drill in 6 million acres of the Gulf. But thankfully, a judge stepped in and said, hey, wait a minute. But there's just all kinds of different tactics being used to stop the fossil fuel drilling. Microsoft-backed OpenAI. Okay. Now, I've been wondering about this. How come Altman's company, OpenAI, doesn't go public itself? Well, they are discussing existing share sale, valuing the company at $90 billion. This kid is in his low 30s.
Well,
And he came up with this.
And it was worth, I actually wrote that down. I wrote this down yesterday. I think it was valued at $29 billion as of January at the beginning of this year, valued around $29 billion. And, of course, this particular thing, I think they're exploring is going to be $90 billion. So you're talking about three times over value in 9 months or what we're, almost.
Not bad. Well, Microsoft's got a big chunk of it. Now, they expect to do $1 billion in revenues this year. So think about that. That's price-to-sales ratio of 90. 90 times revenue, not earnings.
Not earnings.
Revenue. Yeah. But they say we're going to do many billions next in coming years. Yes, this valuation would triple the value of the company that they last put out.
It was interesting. It sounds like it's going to be their goal. It's actually they're talking about kind of cashing some of their employees out because their employees got this private stock, and it's like almost they're going to do a private sale valued at $90 billion.
Wow.
I don't know who's buying it, right? But basically, as an employee, you'll be able to potentially sell some of your shares and get use that for Christmas gifts or whatever.
Some hefty luxury yachts and private jets. Former Apple exec. Now, this was another worrisome one to me, okay? You know, we've got, what is the one that Amazon has where you talk to it?
Alexa.
Yeah, Alexa. Yeah. Okay.
Siri.
OpenAI, which is this Altman character. They're working on a hardware project, and they've called in Sir Johnny Ive, the former Apple executive, best known for designing some of the tech giant's most iconic products, to design some kind of hardware. Okay, so you carry it in your pocket, and you'll be connected to artificial intelligence. I mean, you can ask it any question at any point in time. It's just a little bit scary. I think a lot can go wrong here. That's just what I'm saying. OpenAI uses NVIDIA GPUs to run its large language models, and its ChatGPT runs on both iOS and Android devices, both of those. So anyways, you could have an OpenAI device that will be connected to this ChatGPT.
That's better than, I guess apparently that's better than your phone, because I feel like my, I feel like no matter when I tell my phone not to listen to me, it's still, somehow it's listening to me. We talk, we'll talk about things, and then it shows up on my wife's Amazon. Oh, you're interested in buying that? I'm like, we were just talking about some gardening stuff, and now it shows up on your Amazon.
Yes, it, that happens all the time. They're definitely listening.
Yeah.
Now, this I just wouldn't say to people to think ChatGPT is going to have all the answers, and you're going to rely on ChatGPT. Somewhere I was reading about somebody that was suing because they followed the directions on their car, and it led them off a cliff.
Oh.
And they lost a family member.
Oh, my.
So I just would be careful with, you know, what it's telling you. Apple supplier resumes iPhone production at India plant. Okay, that's good. Apple's stock is dead in the water. I mean, it's just dead in the water. The new iPhone, it's a non-event. It's just kind of a replacement. Maybe you've got broken screens or whatever, like me. There's always something cracked on my iPhone, and it's just not a big hit, okay? Now, here's what you don't want. When you own a stock, you don't want them to come along and say, we're going to slash our long-term growth outlook in half. Boy, that shrinks the multiple.
Long-term growth outlook. That's not good for our five-year growth target either.
No, then that's what I'm speaking about, because that's part of the formula for doing a five-year target price. Well, Next Era Energy, which is a big, NEE is a big, big utility, they're slashing their five-year growth rate 12-15% in half, and the stock is getting clocked today. It is down 5% right now. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, this is the first. We had a good day on Monday in the market.
It's flying by today on the show. I looked up and I'm like, man, we're already in the final segment.
Yeah, and the market's doing well.
Yeah.
You know, then we had two really bad days, and I would just say that I'm seeing bargain. Well, we started off the day Monday, and then it went south, okay, and then yesterday was way south, and then today I would describe today's action as bargain hunting. I'm seeing a lot of buying in the lower PE bargain type stocks, but by far the number one sector in the market today, oil and gas. And you know, go back to July 1st. When I said the market's going to transition here, we're entering a new phase of the market, and I called out oil and gas at that point in time. The energy stocks, I think, are going to have a very good second half of the year. They have led the market. I wish I owned more of them. We own several, but I wish I owned more right now. You've got oil at $92 per barrel. Okay, so let's look at the Dow for a minute. Exxon is up 1.7%. Chevron is up 1.4%. Those are two of the biggest gainers in the Dow. The other one is Intel, which anytime there's bargain hunting, bargain shopping, Intel's a low PE stock. You're going to see some activity in Intel because it's one of the lowest PE tech stocks. Its forward PE is 20, just under 20. It's about 19 right now. The loser in the Dow today, Johnson & Johnson. I don't understand Johnson & Johnson. You know, that's another thing about Cramer. Before he comes on, they have all of these people talking stocks and what they like now. And, you know, the stuff they give out is just, really? You can't do any better than that. I heard Johnson & Johnson. Oh, I think people should be buying Johnson & Johnson here. Okay, you know, look, I don't get many ideas, Very few. I get ideas in the quiet hours and the quiet time looking at charts, looking at valuations, not by watching these knuckleheads on TV that are, they're on every day, all day, you know, and they've got to come up with things to talk about.
And it could be a classic value trap, which is why we look at both fundamentals and technical analysis.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm just not a fan of non-growth companies, okay? AT&T, IBM, Johnson & Johnson, single-digit growers. I'm not a fan. Now, okay, over at the S&P 500, Generac. Oh, and I have a Generac story to tell.
Generac's up.
I got a story to tell. Yeah, okay, it's up 5.8. It's the biggest winner in the S&P 500. Why? Because they fired mine up yesterday, and it kicked over. He says, okay, it's running. It purrs like a kitten, I got to be honest. It's not quiet, you know. It's noisy, but who cares, you know, when the lights go out. And then he flipped the power to my whole house off with one flip. Everything went off, okay? Then he says, now, okay, just wait. He says, it'll come on in 30 seconds. It didn't come on.
Oh, no.
Well, he had the gas spigot closed. He says, oh, we got to open the gas spigot. He opened up. Mine runs on natural gas from the utility. And within 15 seconds, bang, that thing sensed that the power was off, and it came on. And it was purring like a kitten. So apparently I'm set up. I'm hooked up. You know, and it's
light,
a backup,
right?
For my business, for the business, right? As part of the backup plan. I've got internet from Elon Musk that I point to the stars, the clouds, the sky, the moon, the sun, and pick up internet. And the power kicks on. And then I have my office, actually, I run on solar. So I'm pretty much a cloudy day.
As long as we got you some bottled water, we can keep you going, Bill.
Now, a cloudy day, forget the solar. And if the gas goes out, and I'm told that when we had the big hurricane here in South Carolina, Hugo, in 1989,
right,
the gas stayed on. That's all I know.
Hey,
natural gas.
You would think they would have improved that since then. So if it stayed on then, it's got to stay. It should stay on now. It's a good day.
So I'm happy with my Generac. It took over 1 year from the time I said, why don't you come out to my house and see what you can do for me? It's just like one excuse after another. Anyways, okay, let's see. NCLH, people going on cruises, Norwegians up 5.2% today. That's bargain hunting there. Then it's all oil stocks. All oil stocks leading the S&P 500. NOV up 4.6%. Very good chart on NOV. HP, which is American Paine. These are oil service stocks up 4% today. APA, the former Apache. Up 3.4% today. Occidental Petroleum, which is the one that Warren Buffett keeps backing up the truck and buying, it's up 3.2% today. Halliburton, one of the leading oil service stocks, it's up 3.2% today. We own several of these that we've just mentioned. Hess is up 3.1% today. Is there anything non-oil that's up? Well, Conoco's up 3, Marathon's up 3. Here's 3 stocks non-oil related that are having a good day. AMD is up 2. You know, AMD is getting to the point where it is bargain hunting. AMD is sitting right on its 200-day moving average with 80% upside potential.
Even I mean, you and I are even talking, even Microsoft's beginning to look pretty interesting just because of the fact that the NASDAQ, right, by itself has gone, has retreated, and, you know, basically every share of QQQ that gets sold pretty much equates to, you know, close to a tenth of a share,
and,
if not more,
and
of
Alphabet, and those companies, they're deeply oversold here at this point. Costco is up 2.1. They reported earnings that barely beat. It's a popular stock. It was down this morning, but it is very expensive. It's the most expensive consumer stocks out there. But you know what?
We bought some moms yesterday.
It's popular.
Yeah.
Costco is popular. People like shopping there. They like owning the stock. So anyways, all right, well, we're out of time. But if you'd like to set up an appointment with us, doesn't have to be in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. It can be over Zoom, over telephone, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. If you'd like to get this this week's newsletter, the phrase that keeps coming into my head, deeply oversold. You go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.